Good morning. If you're our guest or you're a visitor, you're our honored guest this morning. If you're a member, welcome home. So good to have everyone here this morning to worship God. And what we'll be doing with our lesson is continuing on in our series, ending on a high note. There aren't very many more lessons left, Chris. I think there were 23 lessons, and I think we have three left. So been trying to find different things, different matters of the heart that we can talk about and to try to improve on so that we can have the best year of our spiritual lives in 2015. This morning, we're going to talk about being reverent, revolving our lives around reverence of the Father. So I can't help but when I think about revolving is planets, because I'm intrigued by the solar system and our universe and things of that nature. So that kind of took me to Galileo. On April 12th, 1633, Chief Inquisitor Father Vincino, other Italian words, appointed by the Pope, began the Inquisition to talk about Galileo and what he was saying. And what he was saying is that the sun didn't revolve around the earth, but the earth revolved around the sun. This was heresy. This was false teaching. And they were going to do everything in their power to stop that. So, on June 22nd, 1633, the Catholic Church handed down the following order. We pronounce, judge, and declare that you, the said Galileo, have rendered yourself vehemently suspected by this holy office of heresy. That is, of having believed and held doctrine, which is false and contrary to the holy and divine scriptures, that the sun is the center of the world, and that it does not move from east to west, and the earth does move, and it is not the center of the world. Along with that order came the following penalty. We order that by a public edict, the Book of Dialogues of Galileo be prohibited, and we condemn thee to the prison of this holy office during our will and pleasure. And as salutary penance, we enjoin on thee that for the space of 3 years thou shalt recite once a week the 7 penitential psalms. Galileo agreed not to teach the heresy anymore and spent the rest of his life under house arrest. It took more than 300 years for the Catholic Church to admit that Galileo was right and to clear his name of heresy. So why do I mention all that? Well, I mention that to say people of that time did not like to be told that the earth wasn't the center of the universe. You know, we look at the world today, many people don't like to hear that they're not the center of the universe. We consider, people like to think that it's our desires, it's what we want, it's what we are entertained by. It's those type of things that we should be focused on. And if I'm not entertained, if I am not engaged, if I can only keep my attention for a matter of a few minutes, you better utilize those, because I have many other things to think about. The world does not revolve around us. We live in an age that treats everything as common, and our prevailing culture teaches that no one should be regarded as any better than oneself. That not only goes for each other's as human, that goes towards our relationship with God. Some people want to take the view that God is a butler, ready to be there when you need Him. When you don't need Him, He's to stay behind. Or they want to view Him as a genie, that whenever I use the magical lamp of prayer and rub the lamp of prayer, genie God will come out and say, "What is your wish?" So I can't help but imagine a genie dressed like a butler, and I feel like that's how most people view God. Where God doesn't revolve around us, we revolve around God. Our world should revolve around God the Father. Reverence and respect are similar in meaning and are often used interchangeably. The first point that we're going to talk about is our reverence for God. How would you act if you were invited to visit a king or someone you thought a lot of, a king, a president, a musician? If there was someone that you felt that was very important, would you call him by his first name. If he was a king, would you go to his throne and bust jokes out and be rowdy and disrespectful and whisper when he was talking? How would you act in front of that person? Sure, it wouldn't be any of those ways. Sure that there would be a great deal of reverence, giving respect to people that we feel deserve respect for some reason, kings and of that nature. To reverence God means to show loving respect for Him and His Word. You don't show reverence to God when you speak about Him in a careless way or use His name as a swear word. When we consider being reverent to God, that means we're giving Him the ultimate respect. You know, there is a belief that you should wear your Sunday best. You should wear your Sunday best. I had a teacher in preaching school that said, you should wear your best to services. And I raised my hand and said, I got a tuxedo in my closet from when I was in choir. Should I wear my tuxedo to services? Wear my cummerbund? Crumbs up? So if you eat something, it catches in the cummerbund? No, that's just silly. Why is it silly? It's the nicest I have. He didn't admit he was wrong, but he was. We're to be reverent. We're to be reverent. And you know, we look at, people say if you're not wearing a suit and tie, you're not being reverent. Well, let's count, let's do a little money right here. A suit can run about, if you go on the cheap end, $100, $150, we do Walmart special. Tie, you can get these for a dime at the Salvation Army. Shirt, a couple bucks. Can show up in a shirt and tie. But you know, we got some cowboys. Cowboys interest me. You have a $600 pair of ostrich boots, $50 pair of Wranglers, pearl snap shirt cost about $50. I don't know how those ties with the metal ring with the two strings, I don't know how much those cost. I don't even know the name of them, but people wear them. And we talk about reverence like we want to put a money tag to it. Now, if we were going to go to court, to federal court, what would you wear? You'd be reverent to that judge. How much more should we be reverent to God? It's not necessarily what we wear, it's how we act. I'm not going to show up to services in gym shorts, shower shoes, and a hairnet. Just not going to happen. Wouldn't really need a hairnet. When we talk about reverence to God, it is the ultimate respect. He's the almighty creator of the universe. Look in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. You know, we look to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Believers have, or at least should have, a fear or reverence for God. He is holy, that He is totally other and is transcendent above creation. To have reverence for God is to stand in awe of Him for all He has done to redeem us. The Bible is the most beautiful love story that has ever been told. God's love for mankind and the lengths that He has gone to redeem us. When we consider this consuming fire, and we consider fear, some people will view different scriptures about fear and say, well, on one hand we're supposed to fear, on the other hand we're not supposed to fear. We have to consider words and their uses. We can have a healthy respect for God, which is what God desires, but it doesn't mean that we are scared to death and petrified to go into the church building. Different types of fear. We're to be reverence in worship to God. Reverence to worshiping God. But look at the definition. Reverence in worship is that spiritual attitude and disposition of soul that entering into God's presence in worship and standing before Him humbles oneself before His majesty and His glory. God is truly awesome. God is amazing. And for us to not give the time that we have together to worship Him in a way that He wants us to worship Him, if we can't cut the world out of our mind for an hour, there's something wrong with us. God deserves so much more. There was a denomination down in Waco when I lived there, Victory Something Church, and they were right off of I-35, and they offered 30-minute worship. I mean, that was their selling point, was 30-minute worship. And some of the kids in my youth group were like, that's not right. That isn't right. We shouldn't be putting a time limit on worship like that. Last time I drove through Waco, that building was vacant. Gimmickry doesn't work. You can't have gimmicks and expect to grow. The Word of God is what makes the Lord's church grow. When we share the truth in God's Word, that makes us grow. When we worship God in a way that's pleasing to Him, that is when we are lifting our hearts to God, edifying those around us, and being strengthened by those who are around us as well. When we do as we should, we are coming before Him, and we stand in a certain relationship. We are creatures of the dust. I like how that's worded. We are creatures of the dust. God made us. I've got my third child now. Beautiful, chunky little boy. And sometimes I think when my children misbehave, we made you. Be obedient. We didn't really even make them, you know what I mean? It was God's plan and all that. God is the creator of mankind. He desires us to be obedient. He desires us to be reverent. You know, when we look to the 111th Psalm and verse 9, He sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. He's a God of infinite self-perfection and holiness. He is set apart. He is different. He is the most holy. We look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. It is far better for us to show reverence, to show respect, to do as the Bible would tell us to do, than to show up to services. Hey, I want to do this. Let's do this. This could be a lot of fun. Let's have a smoke machine and a laser light show. Let's go ahead and do that. That sounds like it'd be great. It'd be entertaining. You know, as a matter of fact, let's have a praise dance team. And they can do the Macarena for Jesus or whatever, and it'll draw people in. But if we're going to go to that extent, let's play with snakes and drink arsenic. Gimmickry doesn't work. To draw near and listen to what God would have us to do is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools. To say, I'm giving you worship, God. I can't help but think of Deion Sanders. When he, quote-unquote, became a born-again Christian, was playing for the Dallas Cowboys, and scored a touchdown. And if memory serves me right, he threw the football up in the air as high as he could and said he was giving the ball to God. Well, I wouldn't mind having an athlete the caliber of Deion Sanders back on the Cowboys. I don't think that's what God was intending. As much as I love football, God doesn't care who wins the football game. We don't need to be offering sacrifice of fools, even if we don't know what they're doing is evil. Doing something outside of God's plan is missing the mark. We look to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. But fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Hold on, JJ. Earlier it says to fear God. Now you're saying there's no fear? I thought we were supposed to fear. A person must keep in mind the term fear is used in those various senses I talked about in Scripture. And whenever different senses of the same word or thing are under discussion, skeptics' allegations hold no value. Fear can mean terror, dread, and horror, but it can also mean awe, reverence, and respect. People that want to be skeptical of the Bible will use this argument. It says fear and then don't fear. Y'all are dumb for believing it. Hold on. We have words that mean different things. We're to have awe and reverence for God, but we're not to be scared. We're not to be trembling to come to worship services. Just be excited to come to worship services. We're called to that fear which consists of honor, respect, and reverence. The attitude of reverence and submission is in godly fear is not contrary to the place of joy and rejoicing in the Scriptures. We should come to worship and be uplifted, either by finding a portion of the Word that we can improve our lives on, or hearing a lesson of the love that God has for us. Regardless, we should be reverent to God. He should have our ultimate focus. In the 122nd Psalm in verse 1, a song of ascents of David, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us go to the house of the Lord. This shapes the character and forms of what is appropriately fitting in public worship. In addition to the elements that belong in public worship, the problem of much that is in modern worship is not the elements, but the irreverence, the departure from the true nature of worship of God for the pleasing of men. The principle of worship in godly reverence is to do as God would have us to do. No more and no less. Not adding pork chops to the Lord's Supper, and not taking away singing, not taking away prayer, not taking away the Lord's Supper. We do as the Bible commands us to do. We have reverence to God in our lives. We must show reverence to God in life. We have to be adherent to His Word. When we looked at the qualifications of deacons, we see that a man must be reverent, holding the mystery of the faith with pure conscience. I like this rendering. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. I love being a New Testament Christian. Because if you ask a question, I can give you Scripture as an answer. I don't have to manipulate. I don't have to call and ask my preacher. I don't have to call and ask someone else. I don't have to. Can't if I need to. And I've done that before. But we must be a people. This isn't just a qualification for deacons. Christians must hold to the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. We must live what we study. We must live what we study. We find what the mystery means. Some people don't know what the mystery is, and it's led them astray or to leave the faith. Romans 16, 25 and 26 says, now to Him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, and according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Moses knew a prophet greater than he was going to come. He didn't know who it was, but we do. David, Isaiah, they wrote about a prophet who was to come, where he was going to be born, what he was going to be doing on the day he died, what he was going to do after that. They didn't see Jesus. We know Jesus. The mystery is no longer a mystery. They didn't know. It was a mystery to them, but they had faith that God was telling them the truth. A great prophet was going to come. It's been cured. There's no more mystery. The faith refers to which is believed, that being the gospel. We have to be adherent to God in our walk. Somewhere along the line, we've lost our fear in God. I say we, collectively as a society. In a Barna research in 2007, shows no significant difference in the lifestyles of Christians within the church and those of unbelievers when it comes to living together before marriage, babies born out of wedlock, gambling, wavering on the fact that there are not absolute standards of right and wrong. In fact, the divorce rate among Christians in 2007, this is shocking, is even higher, 26 as compared to 22%. Where have we gone wrong? And I believe the major area is we've lost our fear of God. We've lost that reverence that we're to show. Not only in coming to service, not only in our Christian living, but our awe and reverence we should be giving to God the Father. We look at 1 Peter 1, 17 through 21. And if you call on Him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but He was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. A father is to be revered. Every child is to have reverence for his father. And it means to hold your father in high esteem and honor and respect him. As Christians, baptized into Christ Jesus, God is our Father. He has adopted us as His children through the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore we are to show Him reverence. We're to honor Him and respect Him, to hold Him in the highest esteem, to fear Him lest we displease and dishonor Him and bring shame to His name. The point is this: if you call God your Father, we have to live like it. If we're going to say that we are Christians, we have to live like the Bible is our standard. We have to give reverence to God. The conclusion of our lesson this morning. As Galileo said, the earth revolves around the sun, and it made people angry. This morning, everything should revolve around God. We should hold God in reverence. We should hold God with respect, honor, and awe. I love this image. It's moving. I don't know if everybody can see it. It's a great big hand holding the universe. Pretty cool. We should be reverent to God because He is our almighty Creator. We should be reverent in worship to God because He is worthy. We should be reverent in our lives to God because God deserves honor. People didn't like being told that the sun revolved around the earth. But let's live our lives like God is the center of our universe. Every aspect of our lives should revolve around God with reverence. Our lives should revolve with reverence for God the Father. If you're not a Christian this morning, if this lesson has pricked your heart, which I hope it has, if you're not a Christian, God has done His part. God has sent His Son. Jesus shed His blood, and the Spirit revealed the world, the Word. Everything has been done that we need to have done. There are no more prophecies to be had. If someone comes up and says, I've got a prophecy, can't be true. Can't be true. We have everything we need for salvation. We have our part in becoming Christians, and it's not difficult. We have to hear the Word of God. Believe in that gospel. Repent of our sins. As Christ said in Luke 13:3, repent or likewise perish. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, and Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. And we're to be baptized into Christ to walk in a newness of life. This isn't an outward show of an inward faith. This is being baptized to be saved. 1 Peter 3:21. We walk in a newness of life. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16. And he who doesn't believe is going to be condemned, because he who doesn't believe isn't going to be baptized anyway. After we come up from that watery grave of baptism to walk in the newness of life, we're to remain faithful. You know, and sometimes we're just not as reverent as we should be. We play church. We act like we're Christians. We go through the motions. If you need that shot in the arm this morning, and you need prayers, ask for prayers. Let us pray for you. Let us pray with you. Let's be the strongest congregation. Let's be the strongest family that we can be. But if you're not bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, if you haven't been immersed into the watery grave of baptism, you need to do it. We need to do whatever it takes to be right with God as we stand and as we sing.